Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions of the local comic book shops. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor of Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we're joined by our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Shecky, how you doing today?
I'm doing a little bit better. Last week and the week before, I had a little nasally.
He was nasally.
Yeah, I had some blockage. Yeah.
But obviously, you've treated that with
unclogged the blockage.
You get rid of the blockage?
I got rid of the blockage.
Good for you. And you're in full effect, Shecky in the house.
Shecky into his house.
In the house. So, hey. So we gather here every week to talk comics, to enlighten and fill in the listenership on everything that's going on in the
world.
But
you
know
what? Sometimes by filling in the listenership, we fulfill their lives.
We do?
We do.
I'm sure. But if we don't, at least we can fill you in.
We'll fill you in.
Right. And that's what we're going to do right now with Chris's, what do you call it?
New This Week. Right. But of course, it's always sponsored by...
New This Week, brought to us by Marvel, who is lying in wait with their Trump cover Spider-Man variant, where he portrays the new villain, Comb-Over Malone.
Comb-Over Malone. You know, I heard he was a big to-do in the 60s.
Yeah.
Is that what you heard?
Yeah, I heard that once.
I knew a Carl that had a comb-over.
Yeah? How's he doing?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, okay.
Hope he still has it.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like clinging
otherwise,
on.
Otherwise, how else do you know him?
Yeah, that's so true. Exactly. So
what
true.
Do you call him if it's gone? Hey, don't shave it off, Carl.
So, speaking of
Comb-Over
Malone, Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, number 6 is finally in.
That is a great segue.
It's a great segue. So, seamless. I want to point out who is actually in the book. Who does that look like?
That looks like
Comb-Over Malone.
Donald Trump.
Well, that's what I meant to say. Yeah,
right.
Comb-Over Malone and
I'm batting a thousand.
You're
right
batting
now
a thousand
by calling
right
this.
That's right. So Brian Azzarello's and of course Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
They're both 3, plural all of a sudden.
Frank Miller's
sure why.
Yeah. Dark Knight 3: The Master Race with art by Andy Kubert and inks by Klaus Janson. You know, this has been a really interesting book. I really enjoy this book. Interesting concept. Have either of you even picked up a comic book lately? Have you guys?
I'm waiting for the trade. I picked one up.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for the trade.
So basically,
I stacked the new this week every week. I picked a whole bunch.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So basically, for those of you who haven't read any of these, has to do with the bottled city of Kandor and the inhabitants of Kandor. Of course, the Kandor was the lost city from Krypton.
Uh-huh.
It was placed in the bottle. Well, now these guys are finally back, and that's part of the Master Race. And anyways, lots of stuff going on here. Really interesting book. It's going on a lot longer than I think anybody thought. We thought it'd be over by now, but of course it's delayed and more delays all the time.
Mm.
But interesting book. I do like it a lot.
Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, Book 6 is out at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, and let's continue on with some DC stuff. We've got Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye.
Wait a minute, Cave Carson?
Cave Carson has a cybernetic
eye.
That's the title of the book.
Oh, is it a number one?
It's a number one. First issue by DC's Young Animal.
Uh-huh.
Now, DC's Young Animal, in case for those of you who aren't listening, years ago, actually not too long ago, even I think there's still a small imprint now, or anyways, of Vertigo.
Vertigo
used to be DC's sort of mature titles.
Yes.
And
it's also what people get when they listen to the show too long.
And I don't blame them, because we can be making our people's head spins. DC's Young Animal seems to be sort of a bit of a take on that. So we've got Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. This is by Gerard Way, John Rivera, and Michael Avon Oeming.
Cool.
And I do really love the artwork in this book. And, of course, I like Gerard Way's writing style. So I think this is going to be a popular book for those of you that are interested in sort of a new take on old characters. Like Cave Carson.
Like Cave Carson. Yeah. Very cool. Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. First issue is at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Next up, you know, here's a book that I'm not usually... I would never pick it up, but man, the covers always want to make me pick this book up.
Right.
Even though I don't,
have to fight yourself.
I have to fight myself because I have no interest in the character whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Carnage,
Carnage.
Carnage is, of course.
Oh, that is so cool.
Isn't that a neat looking cover?
Uh-huh.
It's for those of you
who... That's a neat looking cover right there.
There's a neat looking cover.
Yeah.
It's... I can't tell if it's like aliens or some sort of weird Stonehenge. Not
Stonehenge. Well, no, that's Easter Island.
Easter Island. But it's got like weird legs.
It's the Moai statues.
It's got like It's got like, what do you call it? Those like tentacles.
Tentacles. Yeah. Like they're octopuses.
Yeah.
Octopi.
Octopi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a fan of Carnage the character at all. But man, all these, whoever's doing these covers is awesome.
Looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So Carnage number 13 is available at your local comic book shop. Check out this cover.
Okay. Here's another cool cover. For this is the infamous...
It's the cool cover show.
Infamous Iron Man number 1, The Rise of Doom. A lot of number ones already coming out of the newsstand this week.
Nothing but number one.
Nothing but number one. So here's my problem, though.
What's your problem,
almost
Chris?
Too many number ones coming out.
Nah.
And now it appears with this new number one, with Infamous Iron Man, it seems like Dr. Doom wants to take over the reins of Iron Man.
Get out.
I would keep
so kind of like what, what's that guy that did Spider-Man, took over the
Doc
reins?
Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
Kinda.
Now Doc Doom.
That's right.
All these doctors. Uncontrolled.
Yeah.
They're going over the edge.
Too many malpractices.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he wants to take over Iron Man. He's kind of already halfway there with kind of the...
It's kind of metal.
The metal thing.
Yeah, armor thing. Yeah.
Not much. Yeah. Just a little paint job, maybe.
But you know what's interesting? So there's a character in that book there that I haven't seen for a while. Do you remember Diablo?
Diablo.
From Fantastic Four. Yeah, he's in that book as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of a modern take on an old character, which I always like. But interesting book.
Wow. Infamous Iron Man, Rise of Doom, number one.
Okay, so, Walt, I'm actually going to praise you for a minute here.
Yes.
Whoa.
I know.
Don't say things you can't take back, Chris.
Bring it.
So... A while back, not too long ago, in your undervalued spotlight, you suggested that Power Pack number one was going to be a character a number of characters or a book that's going to be worth money.
Yeah.
So, of course, now the latest issue of Deadpool, Back in Black, Power Pack characters.
Oh, very cool.
Now. Who else is also on that cover?
Krusty the Clown.
No.
Hmm.
Come on, you're an old comic book guy. You should know this one.
Well, hold on. Let me see. Let me guess. Ben Franklin. Ben Grimm.
Who's the clown?
The clown is Milton Berle. I can't tell.
Obnoxio the Clown.
Obnoxio the Clown. Oh, okay.
It's an old comic book from like the early 80s. Obnoxio the Clown.
I don't remember the early 80s, Chris.
Oh, yeah, I know. Too much dope.
No, not enough. So that's cool, though.
So not only did you get Power Pack, right, but you got Obnoxio the Clown in this as well.
Wow.
Whoa, the value is through the roof.
Yeah.
The value is through the
roof. I don't think I can take anymore.
I understand. I know. It's crazy.
That's
Chris,
cool.
Don't hurt him.
I know.
Back in Black, Deadpool, number two, with Obnoxio the Clown. And that up-and-coming power pack at your local comic book shop.
All right. And finally, we have... I don't understand how they're still going on with comics. But we got two left. Kiss, number one, from Dynamite.
I want to read this book all night, but it'll take me only 8 seconds.
Because it's... Yeah, anyways.
Cool.
I don't understand how there's enough... fan base of Kiss still around to warrant a comic book.
You know, here's the thing. I think Kiss is one of those, it's like a property. You know how the thing, you know, companies and money and merchandising machinery looks for properties?
Yeah.
I think they think that Kiss as a property still has legs.
Have they not entered the 2010 market at all? Like, do they know that nobody cares about Kiss these days?
I don't know if nobody cares about Kiss or not. Like, it's the type of music that they played was pretty kind of just loud, simplistic rock music that young people
like. What
have
you heard from me lately?
Yeah, I don't know, but Chris, they have Kiss number one from Dynamite here.
Well, I suppose.
Unless it's some old dude going, hey, man.
Hey, man, you know what?
And I got this Paul Stanley tattoo on my calf.
You know what would be awesome?
But maybe they're all lining up in droves. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, tell you what, Walt.
What?
You let me know next week how well it sells in your store, and I could be eating these words.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hey, you know what? You know what's convenient is later on in the show, we're talking about the top 25 sellers for September, the month.
Yeah.
So maybe Kiss will be on there.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, you never know.
We'll see.
Yeah. Maybe
all right,
I'll
well, listen.
Finally get that raise I wanted, too.
Listen.
Yeah.
Hey, listenership in listening land.
Listening land.
Prove Chris Owen wrong. Head into your local comic book shop and pick up Kiss number one from Dynamite.
All right. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, I want to talk about this latest graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call it? I guess it's still a graphic novel. It's got prose in it, but I guess it's still a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Secret Path
by
Gord Downie
of
Tragically Hip fame
mm-hmm.
and Jeff Lemire.
Yes.
So here's the thing. So this is a story. It's a graphic novel about like an Aboriginal story.
Yes, and about the what do you call it when kids were sent away to live
boarding
schools and all that stuff.
Right. Yes. So here, let me read you the book
on
the back here. The Secret Path is a heart-rending story of an Indigenous boy seeking to escape the residential school system and return to his family. Alternately hopeful and devastating, Secret Path traces the boy's fateful journey into the wilderness, lending a personal face to a cold and distant chapter of Canada's history.
Yes.
So this is a really cool book.
Yes.
You know, Jeff Lemire's storytelling is fantastic, and it's got Gord Downie has lyrics throughout the whole book.
Well, part of the thing, I guess, is you get the downloadable album.
Right. You get the whole album.
Right. So, or what do you call it? CD or DVD or whatever it is. Is it an album?
Yeah, I guess you still call it an album. Yeah.
So it was a project that Gord Downie took to heart. The Secret Path, and he collaborated with Jeff Lemire, and this was all over the news, all over the CBC especially, and so it's gotten quite a lot of press here in Canada.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. What's going to be interesting, I think, to see with this book, Chris, is the fact that it's kind of like a pictella, novella, what do you call those things, where the story is told just through the pictures.
Yes.
So you have within the graphic novel all the songs and all the songs the words to all the songs, so let's say every 10th page it's another song in the chapter of this story, but in between then all the graphic art is basically just sequential art without words.
There's no word balloons, there's no dialogue, there's nothing like that.
So it's going to be interesting to see how the public takes to that, because not many of us are used to reading graphic novels without words. I mean, and you still can if they're done right.
Absolutely.
They can be beautiful and devastating too. But so that's going to be interesting to see people's take on this.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, so Secret Path by Gord Downie and Jeff Lemire. It hits local comic book stores today.
All right, so those and what about 4,000 other comic books?
Easy.
Yeah, are going to be appearing on your local newsstands today. And so please go out and support your local comic book shop. Let's have a musical interlude now. What do you think? Sound good? Okay.
We're ready.
So, Shecky, you got something lined up for us?
You know I do.
All right, let's hear it.
Shecky, that's one swinging tune.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know how I know that tune every time?
How do you know it?
By its title. Do you remember what that title is?
Swinging Tune?
Swinging Tune?
No.
Down in the Cellars?
No.
What is it?
That's Much Too Normal.
Oh.
The Library of Gorth.
Oh, nice. Of course.
Gorth.
Library of Gorth.
What else could it be called?
Yeah.
Hey, so I remember a couple weeks ago, it still stings because Owen had Stump the Chump for me. And I didn't do that well, and I usually do really well.
I think I did as well as you.
Yeah. And it's embarrassing. Hey, you know what? It was a hard pill to swallow. I couldn't swallow it. Checky, I couldn't swallow it.
No?
Yeah, there's a first.
I had a hard time swallowing it, so it's...
try harder.
Yeah, well, I don't want to choke. Yeah. So I thought I'd come up with a bit. I thought I'd come up with a Stump the Chump for Owen.
Uh-oh.
So just to get back at
it. Right.
All right. This is in two phases, Chris.
Okay.
Is there a Power Girl phase?
Maybe. There should be, really.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, it's the girls of D.C.
The girls of D.C.
Yeah. So I'm going to... it's in two phases. All one, right. I'm gonna give you the superhero, and I'm gonna ask you the issue that they were first appeared in.
Okay.
Okay. And then, if you know roughly the date, you know, 50s, 60s, 40s, 70s, whatever.
Right.
You know, don't have to give the exact date.
Okay.
So, and then I'm gonna ask another series of questions. Okay. So the first one is, Chris.
Yes.
Okay. Five questions on five of your favorite DC superheroines.
Okay. Let's see.
One of them actually isn't a superhero.
All right. Let's see if I can do this.
Supergirl, when did she first appear?
Action Comics, 258.
Whoa, almost, 252.
Oh! Yeah.
Very good.
You came a little late on that.
Yeah, you came late.
It happens.
It doesn't happen very often, from what I heard.
Usually early.
Yeah. How about Power Girl,
that's a tough one. Let's see.
If you don't know this.
I'm kidding. It's All-Star Comics 58.
58, that's right. And what era?
That's the would be the I guess it's the Bronze Age era, mm-hmm. right? That's it's not considered Silver Age, so
no.
The Bronze Age.
Yeah. Okay, the Bronze Age.
It's not the old action.
1976, right in the thick of the Bronze Age.
Yep.
Right in the thick of it.
Right in the thick of it. Right. Just like Power Girl.
Yeah, right in the thick of the chest of it.
Yeah.
Listen, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's All-Star Comics 7.
Number 8.
Ah!
You came early on that
close.
One, Chris.
You came early on that one. Oh, that's very good, though. And what era would that be?
It's Golden Age.
Golden Age, right.
1939?
41.
41.
Same thing.
All right.
Golden Age.
Yeah, same year. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's excellent. So now we got two more. This is going to be a tough one. I didn't know this one. I had to look this one up, believe it or not.
Oh, boy. If you don't know it, this is going to be tough for me.
Lois Lane. What was her first appearance?
Lois Lane?
Yeah. What was Lois Lane's first appearance?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
I have an idea.
I'm gonna.
Go ahead.
You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say Superman number one.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Even worse.
Oh.
Action Comics number one.
Get out.
First appearance of Superman.
I had no idea.
Introduced Lois Lane as well. I did not know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know what? Because that's a. Nobody ever talks about the first
appearance
of Lois Lane.
Right, because it's so overshadowed. Action Comics is such a big book. It so overshadows everything else that it actually adds Lois Lane as the first appearance.
Interesting.
Which, to me, makes it even a better book.
Totally, yeah.
Right.
I didn't know.
Very cool.
All right.
And the last one is the toughest one, but since you're 1-for-4 so far, I don't know.
1-for-4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm close with the other ones.
Okay.
Does that count?
Black Canary.
Oh. Yeah. Golden Age or Silver Age?
Golden Age.
Oof. I'm going to say All-Star Comics number one.
Flash Comics number 86.
Because she was part of the Golden Age, the Justice Society.
Yes,
so that's
but
why I thought she was
Flash All-Star Comics number 86.
Oh, I was way off on that one.
A shameless plug, ICE, the International Comics Exchange,
here we go.
Has a copy of Flash Comics number 86.
Oh.
I basically designed this whole bit around plugging the fact that a Flash Comics number 86 is available on ICE.
Come on, I was close with those other ones.
You sure
I
were.
Close. I was
you
close.
Sure were.
All right, what's
part okay,
Johnny, come closely.
Of these five girls, which would you say had the biggest pair of shoes?
Oh, biggest pair of shoes.
Big feet.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say probably Wonder Woman because she's the
tallest.
She's
an Amazon.
That's
what I would think.
Yeah.
Who would you say makes the loudest slurping noises?
Like when they're drinking
soup.
Coffee or something?
No, like soup.
Like soup. Oh,
like
right.
Who needs the most etiquette classes those?
Etiquette. Okay, so I'm going to
have... Of those, who's the least refined?
Probably Power Girl.
Power Girl?
Probably, yeah.
She a sailor?
Let's hope so.
Uh-huh.
Let's hope so. All right.
All right. Okay, in your opinion, which has the tightest outfit?
Oh, probably Lois Lane, because she has to dress very smartly, right? She has to, like, go to work and dress, you know, very nicely.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one coming.
Neither did I.
No.
Neither did Lois.
Yeah. Hey, Lois, you need to size up there.
Size it up a bit, will you?
Okay, and out of that group, which one would you think is a squealer?
Oh.
Like, who would rat out her friends?
Yeah, definitely Black Canary. Black Canary? Well, that's her power, right?
That's right.
She's a bit of a screamer.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So, right. Anyway, Chris, you did well
on the second part.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
The first part, I'm not so sure.
Oh, come on. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, next week you're more than welcome to.
I'm gonna, you know what?
Tit for tat, so to speak.
Tit for tat, yeah. Indeed. That is exactly what's gonna happen here.
All right.
So come on, I think I did fairly well on those first appearances, though.
You know what? You were close. You had the right era.
I had the right almost.
And you had kind of that really, close. But listen, I wouldn't want you get going into a con, Chris, and overpaying for it. Action 258.
Right.
Coming to me. Look at me. I bought an Action 258 for like $50.
I know the cover. I know she's coming out. You know, she's coming out.
She's coming out.
Right. Right.
Something's coming out.
All right. Listen,
hey, listen.
Yeah.
What I did want to talk about were... are we in industry news still?
I think we're starting industry news after that little blip. News.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're going to have a sponsor for industry news?
I think so. Oh, yeah, okay. They'll still have us.
Sorry, Shecky.
Industry news part one brought to us by DC Comics, who is devoting the majority of its high sales profits to the lawsuits Donald Trump is about to throw at them for his unapproved likeness. I think that was your Dark Knight 3.
That is true.
See, he's got his listeners out everywhere.
He knows everything about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so true.
The Trump is into comics. The Donald is into comics.
Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of Donald Trump, California signs up for some really bad legislation regulating autographs.
Okay, hold on. What do you mean regulating autographs? So let's say, like, you know...
Well, you and I have been to cons.
Sure, lots.
And you know how important, basically, the autograph industry is.
Totally.
The upside, like, the high end of the autograph spectrum would be the CGC Signature Series.
Right.
And for people listening that don't know what that is, so the CGC company is a company that encapsulates your comics... And gives them a grade at a 10.
Right.
And then you can't open them back up again.
Right.
So if you have a Spider-Man number one and you're taking it to the show and you want Stan Lee to sign it, well, as long as you get somebody from CGC to witness that signature,
yeah,
and then it will be encapsulated in a special label called the Signature Series
Signature Series.
Right.
Okay.
And it'll authenticate Stan Lee signing it, authenticate the date and the place it was signed.
Right.
So that's that end of the spectrum.
Done. Right. That's done.
But you can also go around the con. You can see. You can take your set of Loki.
Right.
And go up to Asad Ribic and say, excuse me, Asad, could you sign this set
and
of Loki?
And in which case he might tell you to go away.
Yeah, or
unless
sign
you
them.
Brought a clear beverage of some
That's
kind
right.
to him.
Right. So right. Asad would sign them. So you're all happy that you have Asad Ribic's signature.
Hey, I got Asad Ribic's
signature on all four of the Loki series.
Cool.
Right? Now, in California... You can't sell these signed things because in order to sell them as a signature product, you have to meet criteria, something that the signed AB 1570s collectibles sale of autograph memorabilia law that they just signed.
Is this an actual law?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you basically have to... provide 9 different criteria identifying the item's provenance.
Really?
You have to prove without a shadow of a doubt that it's
what it says.
This is an authenticated signature.
Okay, so hold on. So let's say you decide to have Asad Ribic in your store one day.
Yeah.
And he's doing autographs.
That's right.
So you have to provide the certificates.
The store
has
to jump through hoops in California.
Right.
And... provide these 9 criteria, check them off through some sort of state legislature. And I hope this doesn't spread to the whole country and to Canada as well. And then basically you have to, you know, and it's the administrative and the costs and the time and probably prohibitive.
This is the San Diego con is the biggest con.
That's right.
Obviously in California.
Yes.
Doing and they have the most celebrities and the biggest celebrities.
That's right.
Can you only imagine how much they're going to be handcuffed by this now?
That's right.
But hold
on.
So now... the state of California is not making any money on this, right?
But they're trying to regulate an industry that's going unchecked.
Right.
Because public demand for signed things
right.
is increasing so much that perhaps the state of California is seeing unscrupulous business practices, perhaps, from sellers of autographed items.
Right.
And maybe there were consumer complaints, thus the state initiated this law.
I'm kind of with Chris, though. I would feel like they have to make money if they're going to go and pass this or something.
What's it to them?
I guess they're the state of California. They're there.
What do they care, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're there to protect the consumer.
Be a smart guy.
Buyer beware. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. What Shecky said.
Unless they're making a buck off each certificate or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, California's run by a bunch of hippies. They're in for the interest
of... Well, you got the governor who used to be in there.
He used to be there. Yeah. He wouldn't have signed. Arnold would have said,
no.
Well, what is this?
How many signatures do
you
want?
Yeah, how many signatures do you need? No, but I don't know. I see this as kind of, you know... Well, okay. So you go to a show, buddy signs your print, buddy right. signs your comic. 90% of the guys are just going to be happy with that.
Exactly.
And I think there won't be an issue is if you sign it, if you sell it 5 years later and you go to a guy, hey, you know, Asad Ribic signed this
right.
5 years ago at a show. Guys are going, oh, yeah? You go, yeah. But then you don't ask for.
Well, yeah. I mean, how's that conversation?
Yeah? Hey, yeah. Hey,
how's that conversation going again?
Well, he goes, oh, yeah. And then you really don't have anything to say. So you go, yeah. And then he's going to go, good. I'm not going to give you any extra for it.
Right.
So then you sell it.
Right. Right. Fair enough.
But I think it's when you say, hey, I want a premium of a bottle of Smirnoff.
Okay, so.
So,
Stanley. Right.
Stanley.
So let's say Stanley signs your copy of Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Yeah.
But you're a schmo. You didn't think about getting the CGC authentication Siri people to go to the booth. You just brought it over and you got the book signed. And you put it home and put it on your wall for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide to sell it as a authentic signature.
In the state of California, you'll have to provide 9 criteria identifying it as an authenticated item.
Okay, now hold on.
To sell it as a signed thing.
What about if somebody happens to have something from like Jack Kirby who's passed away?
Yes.
I'm sure
part of the 9 isn't the direct contact with the signer.
All right.
So it may be getting a signature authenticator, Chris.
I think this is ridiculous, and I think it stinks.
I think it stinks, too.
I think it stinks.
Listen, this is the way it's going. We're an unregulated marketplace, and now you have government coming in to try to regulate an unregulated marketplace.
But hold on. It's not like this is like the Wild West here.
The Wild West, Chris. You and I both know, for example, the selling of ungraded comic books at cons
right.
can be a hazardous exercise for consumers if they go to the wrong dealer
right.
Who will misgrade their comic not by 1 point out of 10,
right.
not call something a 5 when it's a 4.
Right.
I'm talking about calling something an 8 when it's a 3.
Right.
And some young, eager buyer will pay then $500 for said item when said item market value may only be 50.
Right.
Right?
Fair
so
enough.
It is the Wild West, and some of this stuff needs to be regulated.
Okay, but that's why you have CGC, and, you know...
Okay, but not everything is CGC. Like, even, like, in California, like Shecky said, even, like, you know, old... You know how big an industry of old 8x10, like John Wayne signature
right,
photos and, you know, Marilyn Monroe and all
sure.
that kind of stuff. This is, you know, murky waters now.
All right. You know what? I'll give this one to you, Rabbit. All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude. In case we need to authenticate it
mm-hmm.
by, the Krantz people or something like that. Is that what's going to happen here? Are we okay with
that? That's why we're not doing Krantz right
okay,
now.
All right,
yeah.
Can't authenticate.
Okay,
Krantz.
Can't authenticate. All right, let's hear it.
Wherever Batman goes, he is always there, and all their evil foes are very much aware that though he's just a boy, no grown-up can compare with Robin, the wonderful boy wonder. If Batman's in a fix and it looks like it's the end,
He really doesn't worry. He knows he can depend on that fearless teenage hero who is his closest friend. Robin, the wonderful boy wonder. He fights for law and order whenever there's disorder, and asks for no reward or prize for doing what he order. And though he's just a lad, I'm sure that you'll agree, there's never been a lad as wonderful as he. And if one wish I had, I wish that I could be Robin, the wonderful boy wonder.
Oh, good pick, Shecky. Good pick.
Good pick.
Good pick.
You know, actually, I ran into somebody that had a Robin tattoo today on their shoulder.
Like the bird Robin or the character Robin?
No, like the Robin? Character Robin.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a little surprised.
Nice.
But it was nice.
Were you impressed?
Sure.
Right. Did you ask him if he had any other tattoos?
It was a girl.
Did you ask her if she had any other tattoos?
No, it was awkward. It'd be awkward for me to do that.
Yeah. How many are visible?
Did she have any distinguishing marks?
Did she speak with a lisp?
Okay. Very cool.
All right, let's continue on there, Shaq.
Let's try.
All right.
Where are we?
I don't know. Shecky, we're going into
Industry News Part 2.
Shecky's Bit Part 2, I think.
Bart brought to us by the state of California, who is now imposing a law that restricts meeting celebrities to those who can meet the 37 criteria for deserving to do so.
Oh, that is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah.
Those are going to be some short lines.
Yeah, I agree.
Telling you that
I agree.
Much.
Yeah.
All right. What?
I think Mr. Feldstein has a bit.
Well, you know what? You know that Walter and I journeyed to the great city of New York.
Of Gotham.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we did the convention there. That was a couple weeks ago, and we talked about it last week. And I thought I was going to have my intel resurface last week, but
okay.
It didn't.
Yeah.
Intel.
So there's tons of cosplaying at Fan Expo, but New York City was even above and beyond that.
Really? Okay.
And so I did a little bit of digging. I sent my feelers out into Shecky's underground circles.
Feelers.
Shecky's underground circles.
Exactly.
Underground circles.
And so I started posing the questions, you know, of what the biggest gaffes and most embarrassing moments at the biggest stage of cosplaying would have been at New York City.
Okay, so are you talking about people dressed up in the wrong costume?
Or wardrobe.
Talking about in general.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Their personal... You know, either the gaffes, the things that they saw, the things that were wrong.
Okay, all right.
The problems.
Right. Okay. Because I'm trying to follow him here. Owen,
I know,
but,
it's tough.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think I'm onto him now.
All right.
I finally heard back from my five favorite peeps.
Favorite peeps.
All right, and so this is what I got. So coming in number five.
Number five.
All right. Which was definitely, as you said, well, costume failure, says Felix. He, of course, made a pit stop at our booth. Do you remember that? And he needed an intense tape job on the one day in the afternoon.
I do remember Felix.
Intense tape job.
Yeah,
he did.
No wonder we didn't have anyone else come by that afternoon.
I know.
Did you give him a tape job?
I did.
Under the table?
I did. No, I did it above table. Oh, I didn't care who was watching.
Good for you.
Hey,
good for you.
When you're in here, everything's above table.
That's right.
It's not what I hear about New York.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, yeah, I remember that man.
Yeah, there
what
you
was
go.
His name again? Keith?
Felix.
Felix. All right.
Keith.
Okay.
wrong guy.
Right.
Yeah. So number four.
Hope you're listening, Felix.
Yeah. Number four, mustard stains.
Mustard stains.
So Donnie says, no matter how much mental preparation, you try not to eat the hot dog.
Uh-huh.
You always got to get the hot dog.
Yeah.
You spill the mustard on the cosplay.
Yeah, it's always on the wrong spot. Yeah. You know what?
Stains everywhere.
Yeah. If you go yellow,
yeah.
Then you don't have that problem.
I hear once you go yellow... Mm-hmm.
No. You stay mellow.
Yeah, he said it didn't end up going well with the white in his Power Girl costume, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's awkward, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to go. I was going somewhere, but I didn't want to touch that.
Yeah. A little mustard in the old man cleavage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then, coming in at number three, my pal Teresa.
Teresa.
She notes,
good Catholic girl.
Visible body fluids.
You talk about like sweat stains.
She's of course, yeah,
okay,
of course,
okay,
sweat
okay,
stains,
okay.
And she, you know what? I don't want to hug a cosplayer on a good day,
mm-hmm.
But when they got the swampy mess of sweat,
swampy
everywhere,
mess.
You know, I'm gonna. I want to beep beep beep.
Bop.
Some cosplayers I would hug any day.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Just want to say,
but Felix, you hear that?
You know what?
Keep the mustard flowing.
You know what, Felix? When you got a case of the cospits, I ain't touching you.
Cospits.
Yeah, the cospits. Number two.
I don't remember, Teresa. You were moonlighting.
That's when I went. Yeah,
you went out a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, went for
hooked
a
up with Teresa.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
So coming in number two, Irritated Nipples.
Irritated Nipples.
I think I saw that band back at the Alamo in 78.
Yeah? I saw that movie back in 81.
Yeah. Well, this is, of
the
course...
The soundtrack might have been...
So this is coming from Steve, who actually suggests that using Band-Aids like marathon runners can help a lot in that instance.
Nice.
Wait, are you saying that marathon runners use Band-Aids on their nipples?
They do. Yeah, some of them do. Wow. He also said that...
Now, when you put... Help me understand.
Okay.
Because when you put Band-Aids on your nipples, do you do one or do you make like a cross?
I think you do a cross for double.
It depends on if you're doing a show later on that night.
You got to double up.
Yeah, you might have to double up.
Yeah.
You know what would be really cool? It's like little Spider-Man ones.
No, that's, you know, that's
or
true.
Heaven forbid, Power Girl ones.
That'd be a big Band-Aid.
Yeah. All right.
We're moving along. Okay.
So hold on here. Yeah. So hold on.
Yeah.
Let's do. Can we do a recap before it gets to number one?
Yeah.
So what was the first one again?
We got Costume Failure.
Costume failure by Keith, right?
Felix. Yeah. We got Mustard Stains
from
Donnie.
We taped them up.
Stains on
We stained
Archie.
Her up.
Yeah, sure. Visible Body Fluids.
On Teresa.
Well, she's noticing, not on her. On Teresa.
Oh.
You know, I don't know what you're thinking about there.
Sorry.
And we got Steve with Irritated Nipples.
Steve with Irritated Nipples.
Okay.
Sorry about your... Nipples. Tough luck, Steve.
Yeah. And so the first one, top one, was language barrier.
Language barrier.
Oh. Because, so Francesca report, you know, there's a lot in New York, there's a lot of Hispanics.
A lot of Hispanics
coming,
right.
You know.
No hable inglés,
so
English.
There were a lot of sexual harassment reports due to bad language mojo.
You see.
Yeah. And so some of the common mix ups that she said were, show me what you got. That got people into trouble.
Right.
And I'm back tomorrow, and you can see my Dick Grayson.
Nice.
Oh,
that got a lot of guys into trouble.
You see, when you said language barriers, I was thinking more like certain guys wouldn't be able to go up to talk to some of the cosplayers that are dressed scantily clad. You know, that's a language barrier, like not even be able to speak.
Well, that's a nerd barrier.
That, yeah, that's a tongue-tied barrier.
Yeah.
The Shecky fought through it, though. Should have seen him. He was up there swinging.
You're okay with Teresa?
He was up there swinging.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think he got along the best with Keith.
Felix,
yeah. Because Felix let him tape him up.
I had to help the guy out. Poor Felix there. He was coming undone at the seams.
Bulging at the seams.
Wow.
Yeah,
but it was, like Shecky said, though, it was cosplayers everywhere. And
who's your favorite cosplayer?
Oh.
Did you see one that really stood out?
I did.
You're like, okay, and?
Okay, well, you think of one first.
Okay, I'm trying to think.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I mean... You're always a sucker for the pretty girl.
Sure. Right?
And there was one of those, you know, those, what's the purple one? Psylocke?
Okay, hold on.
She was my favorite.
So, Shecky has handed me a photo.
I don't take photo. I've been going to cons for 12 years.
Just hold on. Okay. I have to describe it.
And I have not taken a photo of any of the sights or sounds for probably 10 years because I've been through it. But this one I had to.
So, Shecky's taking a photo, and it looks like it's a traffic cop or traffic kind of reporter, reporter.
So you don't even know who this is.
No, I have no idea who that is.
So for those who don't know who it is, on Saturday Night Live, right after Force Awakens came out,
right,
there was like a parody spoof TV show of like Undercover Boss.
Okay.
And it was Kylo Ren going to the Death Star undercover as a technician named Matt. But he had his lightsaber and he was like, and he was trying to get dirt on
it. I did see that.
So what do you think of Kylo Ren?
I did see that.
And then he's
killing
people with the Force because they didn't like him.
Right.
This guy is he is 100% on.
Yeah, that's true.
Other people while he was at the booth coming up also saying that he was the best cosplayer all
day. I agree with that.
So I had to snap a shot of him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. You know what? Which reminds me, you know, I think I'm going to take back my Psylocke. I think my favorite one was there was a guy, Fred Flintstone, walking around.
Oh, yeah?
He had that stupid ass, you know, Fred Flintstone gown.
Yeah.
And he had the black hair, you know, combed the way it was supposed to. And he had that kind of stubble. And it was, he looked great.
Perfect.
Basically looked like Jackie Gleason walking around as Fred Flintstone.
So what I find interesting is, you know, there's like a thousand hot girls at these things dressed up in scantily clad outfits.
Does nothing for
and you
us,
like,
Chris.
You like Fred Flintstone, and you like Kylo Ren.
I like some dude in a traffic outfit. I like one of the village people.
And that's
okay.
I'm just saying. I'm surprised. That's all. I'm okay with that. I'm just surprised.
Hey, to each their own. New York brings out... You know, the best in everybody.
You never
the best in the worst of us.
New York.
All right.
We're going to talk about real news.
Yeah, we are. Hey.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, Lou, let's talk about, so I read online there about a new character introduced in the Logan movie. And this character is called Caliban.
Caliban,
who is a albino mutant character with the ability to track other mutants.
Right.
Which would really lead well in the movie, right?
Yes.
Especially if he'd be like the guy. Remember, what the heck was that cowboy movie with Paul Newman? No, Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Oh, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Yeah. And they were trying to run away in the posse, and they're always like, who the hell are those guys?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This would be Caliban.
Right.
So he'd be chasing them down. Yeah, who is this guy? How come I can't shake him?
Yeah, the fall will kill you.
Yeah. So X-Men 148 from 1981 introduces Caliban.
And I remember that.
The interesting part of that book, Chris, is that traditionally in comic book collecting,
yep,
X-Men went wah, wah, wah after 143.
Right.
143 seems to be that end of that Claremont era type thing where Byrne, Claremont, all that kind of stuff. Yep. You know, from 94 to 143 is probably one of the most collectible runs in comic book history.
Agreed, right? Yes.
And then once you hit 144 and on, relegated to the $2, $5 bins at best.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
And now we have this exciting news that this Caliban character introduced in X-Men 148 will be a part of this new movie, and hopefully that can help, you know, that at least that issue in the back issue comic book market.
It's interesting, yeah, because it's I'm looking. I brought up the issue on my computer here, and it's really a nothing issue looking. Like it's got Dazzler in it. It's got
Shecky.
Like,
that is a nothing issue looking.
Nothing issue looking nothing at issue. You, kid.
Right. So. Just so you know.
You know, yeah. I hate you both. Mm-hmm. I hate you both. Yeah,
we feel it.
There's nothing going on with this book. It's very, as my dad would say about wine, van de ordinaire.
Nice. Anyway, so that's cool. What also is cool is all these kind of press releases staged over time about this mm-hmm. Wolverine movie.
Like, it doesn't say, is he supposed to even be like, is he a villain?
I'm sure he's going to be a villain.
Last week we talked about Donnie Osmond there. The villain that got spoiled.
Oh,
right?
That's
the,
right, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy's another guy, but who knows which...
Yeah, I don't know what... Yeah, I don't know what he's going to...
See, Caliban made his big... I don't want to say appearance, but like he was a big to-do when they had the Fall of the Mutants.
That's right.
And the Mutant Massacre and all that kind of stuff.
That was like for them or against them?
He was for them because he was for like the Morlocks. 60
issues later.
Yeah, that was like a long time. Yeah, exactly. A long time ago after that. So, interesting. Well,
so they're going to be fighting together and against each other.
That's right. All together and against each other at the same time.
Hey, the film hits theaters March 3rd, 2017. So I'm excited about that.
Right. Hey, speaking of films.
Films.
Speaking of films. Doctor Strange is opening up soon
I'm really
week
excited.
And a half or so, week and a half.
You know why I'm so excited for that?
What's
I
that?
Still don't have a heck of a clue what the movie's really about from the trailers. It's mysticism and smoke and mirrors. And
that's right.
I don't know what's going on.
Mysticism.
Mysticism and smoke and mirrors.
Let me ask you guys a question.
All right.
Ask away.
So... like Shecky said, mysticism and smoke and mirrors. So, two of the largest properties in the last 20 years have been, what's the kid with the wand?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. And then there was Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And then, of course, there's the whole Merlin tradition and Camelot and all that kind of stuff. So,
that's not in the last couple of years, but go on.
Yeah. No, last 20 years with the Harry Potter movies and with the Lord of the Ring movies.
I believe Lord of the Rings was first, and then it continued. Sorry.
But my point is
and then Camelot.
No, I'm just saying it all kind
one,
of...
1, 2, 3.
It all goes
like
back
like
to...
that.
It all goes kind of back to Camelot as a starting point with Merlin.
Sure.
Right? So, you know...
Last 20 years, Merlin.
No, I didn't mean Merlin the last 20 years.
Hey, you know what? If you get to make fun of me, I get to make fun of you.
Okay.
That's right.
So,
keep going, Merlin.
So, this Doc Strange, is it taking the Marvel Universe to there because that's a proven consumption by consumers that they like this kind of stuff? Like, so they like
Wizardry
and druids and all that Harry Potter and mysticism.
All
and,
that
and,
stuff and is becoming popular again.
Sorcerers.
So you know what? Like,
what do you mean again?
Well,
my point is, it's been popular.
It's been popular, but it kind of comes and goes, right? So you had your orcs and your Lord of the Rings stuff years ago, then kind of with the Harry Potter and all that kind of stuff with wizardry.
Mm-hmm.
But now, then all of a sudden, there was superheroes, right?
Yeah.
Which has been the main thing for the last
few years.
Now superheroes and wizardry are coming together with Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think it's a natural formation.
Yeah, I guess the puzzling part for me is, where is this going to fit? Are they going to go more to Harry Potter, or are they going to go more to Avengers?
Well, Harry Potter was made for like 6-year-olds, so probably not Harry Potter.
I didn't mean Harry Potter in the Harry Potter sense. I mean, in the Lord of the Rings sense, and in that kind of mysticism sense, and the part of, like, not of this world sense, or is it everyday, you know, problems in the streets that Doc Strange is dealing with? You know what I'm
problems
saying?
Problems in the streets.
Problems in the streets.
He's got...
Sounds like an intro to a song from the 70s.
Taking it to the streets.
You know what? It's tough to say, because we were teased that Doc Strange was making his way into Avengers. The next one, the Infinity Gauntlet, he's going to be appearing. So he's going to tie into them. So whatever way they can make the world of mysticism and parallel realities tie into normal life, is what they're going to do. I don't know how.
Remember a while ago we talked about how they're changing things up? I mean, with the Ancient One isn't going to be from Tibet
old
anymore.
Tibetan guy.
It's now this
young
female Celtic
yep.
person. And so I think they're just trying to change things up enough, and they're making it, but at the same time, what Shecky was saying, trying to make it a little more modern, because it's going to delve into like the world of the Avengers that we know, that sort of modern superhero world. But then at the same time, it's trying to go back to the days of Merlin.
Nice.
Yeah. Days of yore.
Yeah. Days of yore.
Right. Hey, so...
Crikey.
So also on this Doc Strange trip, it was also announced that there's excitement building on this the score.
Right.
The musical score.
Okay.
Because the knock on it was, you know, back in the day of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, what's that guy, Williams?
John Williams.
Very identifiable.
I don't think he did that song.
I think he
did
the
rabbit.
Play
the
rabbit.
He didn't do that? Was that some lame guy like Mozart or something?
Okay.
You guys, I hate you guys.
Yeah.
So there's excitement. I guess the knock on the Marvel movies was there wasn't that type of classic identifiable music.
Right.
And then you had, but then I'm thinking, okay, that what's the Guardians of the Galaxies?
Yeah.
That was like a gimmick. That was like 80s pop songs.
It was awesome.
It was every popular song.
Like, was the number one album for half a year something like that.
And it was the first album to reach number one without having an original song on it.
That's not good.
Okay.
Well,
so, I know it's good.
Here's what I'm going to say about that.
Here's what you're going to say.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
When Star Wars came out, you got to remember... George Lucas fought really hard to have a orchestral score rather than just like music playing in the background.
Right.
Because Flash Gordon came out and it had, you know, Queen playing the music and that kind of stuff. And it
Did
Queen. Not do nearly as well. Like, it was completely different. Yeah. Flash. Ah. So I think it really depends on the director where they want to take that particular movie to, right?
All right.
So, you know, of course you're not going to get the John Williams and Star Wars and you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, or you're going to get James Horner from the Star Trek movies or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get a guy like this Giacomo, whatever his name is.
Giacomo.
And we'll see. I think do we have a clip of the...
Yeah,
the
so let's... We're going to treat our listenership to a preview of the musical score to the Doc Strange movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think the guy's name is Michael... Giacchino. All right, let's hear it. Walt, wake up. Wake up, Walt.
Man, that was good.
That was fantastic.
Wow. So fantastic. That's what we got to look forward
that
to.
That is, you know what?
On second thought.
The intro to a musical score. What'd you expect?
Well,
they're selling it online as this Giacomover. He's going to come in. He's going to change the musical scene.
James Williams.
How about we revisit it? At a minute 45 into the song for 10 seconds right now.
All right, let's give it another chance. Checky wants to give it a chance.
Second go over.
Okay, second go comb over. Go over Giacomo.
Now.
Two more.
Yeah.
And one more.
No, I thought that was Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Especially without any words, a lot of scores can go behind just about anything. And, you know.
What is best in life?
What is best in life? Crush enemies. All right. Well, that's cool. Anyway, so I for one, honestly am looking. Hey, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
I have to have something wonderful to report.
You do?
Oh, boy.
I saw Captain America Civil War on the weekend.
Is it the first time?
Yeah.
What? Oh, Civil War. I was thinking
Civil
War.
Civil War.
What'd you think?
You know what? My favorite. I didn't like it. As much.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Wait, you didn't like it at all, or just as?
No,
much
it was
as
okay. My favorite scene by far.
Yeah.
Was Stark and Parker.
Yeah.
In the apartment in Queens.
Wait, no, hold on. Why do you always, you know, you're always like, you know, what my favorite scene is the scene where the two guys are talking together for 18 minutes. You always say those movies.
No,
Avengers.
That's my favorite scene. Be quiet. Okay.
All right, go on.
This is the part I didn't like.
Okay.
This is the part I didn't like. So, hey, you know, this is like 9 month old news, but hey, you know what? Turn the dial, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're all about here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 9 month old news.
Yeah.
I think we should call the show.
I think so.
So, what I didn't like about it is this. Here you have the greatest characters in the Marvel universe, and they're chumped by some Slobovian colonel that's got a Jones because his family was off in a bombing.
Right.
Some low-ranking army guy.
Right. I agree.
You know, there was no villain of consequence or of any kind of weight or any kind of, whoa, man, that guy's badass and he's taking Avengers to task. It was some disgruntled colonel
from
some sort of Eastern European army.
Yeah, but when you look at it, it only took a couple of them to deal with that situation kind of at the end. It was mostly
about... whole movie was about him.
It was about antagonizing them to fight each other.
Right.
But no, but I don't want... I don't want my superheroes to be chumped that easily. I want it to be some sort of master plan by Dr. Doom or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what lacked the whole movie. There was no villain in that movie. I didn't like it.
I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying.
Okay.
The fact that there's no major villain that's the mastermind. I mean, that was I think that was supposed to be Baron Zemo.
Yeah, okay. It was maybe young Baron Zemo, right?
But I get what you're saying. But I'm going to agree with you, but I'm also going to agree with Shecky that this movie was not meant to be about the mastermind. It was meant to be about all the heroes fighting each other.
Yeah, but you want them to get to that you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
All right.
You know, that movie was, there are a lot of problems with that movie, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's the movie you have to just sort of go in thinking, well, it's going to be fun to see a whole bunch of heroes fighting each other.
Yeah.
Really, because there's a lot of plot holes, there's a lot of problems with that movie.
I mean, it was enjoyable to the point because you're seeing Iron Man, you're seeing Captain America.
Yeah. And they kept the funness to it.
Yeah.
Like Paul Rudd waking up drunk in a van, rolling out the side of it, and having his little word off with Captain America.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
And then you had Peter Parker and Robert Downey, which was meant to just be comedic, but also to build up Spider-Man.
Right, and it told it really well.
Yeah.
And then you had, you know, what I picked on Comic Book Daily, my undervalued spotlight this week, was Marvel Team Up number 1, which start in the 70s, which started Spidey's teaming up with other superheroes of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And it was inspired by that movie because I love the interplay. You know, that annoying pet. Like, this guy talks so much all the time.
Right.
I missed that You know, and having Spidey is even better than Ant-Man with those quips.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Totally
like those kind of little interplay and the little...
You know what I kind of felt that movie almost did? As if it weren't already written down or whatever. But what I got a lot when you see the Justice League trailer, right? And you see how Flash is young and he's a kid. And he's in that scene with Batman, with Affleck there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, he's moving super fast, caught the Batarang, whatever. Yeah. I felt like that was the same scene, but with DC characters instead.
Totally. And I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that Civil War, looking back on it now, it seems like it was an opportunity for the Marvel Studios to introduce Black Panther.
Yeah.
And
he was good.
And
I
Spider-Man,
like that character. Yeah.
And somehow involve a story around the rest of them and at the expense of it being a Captain America movie. Because really, it's not, like everybody says, that's really Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
Because
it really wasn't a Cap movie. It wasn't a Cap movie. There's too many people involved.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I did enjoy it. It was entertaining and there were some great parts on it. And so the thing for me was that, you know, and Zemo, but he wasn't in the context of this, you know, supervillain. And that's what was missing for me.
So interestingly enough, just, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time left over, but so I was reading an article by, I think it was on Newsarama about Thor Ragnarok, which is going to be out about a year from now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is supposed to be, it's by a director, I'm going to say the name wrong, Waika Taiti or something like that, Taiti or something like that. Anyways.
Taiti.
I don't know how you say it. But apparently he has said that because the other Thor movies he said they were good, but they weren't his style, and he wants to take the Thor franchise back to like a 1980s comic book Thor rather than like the modern Thor that we know now kind of thing. And he's kind of making this like a road trip movie between the Hulk and Thor as they go to Asgard.
Right. Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Cause Hulk and Thor were missing from this.
From the last one. Right. Yeah. So. Which makes sense. Cause really, what are you going to do? You're going to put the Hulk in there. He's going to
beat everybody
right?
up. So. Yeah. All right. You know what? Shecky, how are we doing for time? Here?
We've got, go ahead.
I don't know. I'm looking to our engineer over here who actually tracks time.
We got 2 minutes left. Less than two minutes.
You know what? We were going to talk about a bunch of things like how well DC did last month, but we don't have the time.
And we're also going to talk about how Kiss is not on the top 25 list.
Yeah, Kiss didn't make the top 25.
Kiss is not on the
top. But we're also going to plug here at Comic Culture, obviously Halloween.
Right.
And obviously we're going to encourage everybody that's listening to hand out some cheap comics rather than candy.
Right, absolutely.
Comics, not cavities, is the caveat for a Comic Culture.
Are you guys having a Halloween party this year? Like at the store?
I'm not sure.
Oh, all right. If to find out, contact the manager, not the owner.
That's right.
All
right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I think that's all the time we have for today. Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, engineered by Chris Owen. You can listen to us at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station, and comicbookdaily.com, where we have, what do you call those things, podcasts?
Sure.
Yeah, and getthepointradio.com.
Please go and have yourself a wonderful day.
And support your local comic book shop.
Yeah, that too.